So I would like to title tonight's message, The Willingness to Obey God. The Willingness to Obey God. So here in Genesis chapter 2, if we take a look at verses 1, verse 7, and verse 11, we hear a phrase that Abraham repeatedly says. He says, "Here am I." In verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and he said unto Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." In verse 7, the Bible says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, Father, and he said, Here am I." In verse 11, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here am I." You see, this is not an unusual phrase in the Bible. Actually, we find different people making the same statement. Moses made this very statement. So if you please, could you turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3? Exodus chapter 3, and let's look at verses 2 through 4. Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. Here in verse 2, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah answered, Here am I, send me." Here am I, send me. What does it mean? Here am I. Here am I, in essence, means this: I am at your disposal. Lord, I am totally committed to you. Lord, I have surrendered my life to you. Here am I. I mean, what would happen if every church in the world would simply say to God, Lord, here am I. Use me. Here am I. I'm available to you. I mean, could you imagine the impact that we would have on the world to advance the kingdom and the glory of God? Amen. You see, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., a great American evangelist, made this statement. He said that the greatest ability in all the world is availability. Amen? You see, God is not looking for ability, but then what God is looking for is availability. Amen? You know, too often God calls people, but they're too worried that they don't have the ability. They're so worried that they don't have the strength or the knowledge to do what God has called them to do. But we have to understand that God doesn't need strong people. You see, God is an omnipotent God, amen? He's all-powerful. You see, God doesn't need smart people. You see, God is an omniscient God. He is all-knowing. You know, and I'm living proof of that, amen? I mean, if God could use me, I mean, God could use anybody, amen? You know, when I remember when God was calling me, you know, I tried to fight it. You know, I was trying to find every excuse not to answer God's call. You know, I would say, Lord, why me? You know, I'm nobody. I'm not a smart guy. I mean, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I don't even speak very well. You know, I'm too old. I'm 43 years old. I mean, how could you use me? You know, I don't even have the right haircut. But you know, God knows that. God knows my weakness. God knows my strong points. But then all that God wants is someone to be used for him. Amen? Someone that's available. Someone that's willing to surrender their life so that way God could use them. You see, all that God wants are people to simply say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Use me. You see, here in Genesis chapter 22, we see here that Abraham was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. So if you have your Bibles, could you please turn to Genesis chapter 12? Genesis chapter 12, and let's look at verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Here the Bible says, "And now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You see, here in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 here, Abraham was being called by God. So God is telling Abraham, he said, Abraham, I want you to pack all your stuff. I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your home. And I want you to go to a land that I will show you. You know, many times, you know, I hear many testimonies from missionaries, and they share their testimony on how God had called them to the mission field. And there was one missionary, he was sharing his testimony, and he said, you know, before God called me, I would pray to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere in the world, but please, Lord, don't send me to Africa. And then God sent him to Africa. There was another missionary. He said, Lord, Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere in the world, but please, please, don't send me to China. But then Lord called him to China. And then I said, well, you know what? I see a pattern here. I said, let me try something. And before God called me to the mission field, I said, Lord, Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere in the world, but please, please don't send me to Hawaii. Please don't send me to Hawaii, man. Oh. But you know what? It didn't work. God sent me to the Philippines, amen. It was pretty close. Well, it's an island, right? But you see, if we're not careful, that's the kind of attitude we will have. You know, God is calling us to go somewhere. And we're like, well, Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere, but only here in Sacramento. Well, Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere, but only here in California. Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere, but only here in America. You see, when you're doing this, you're basically telling God, God, I'm willing to go anywhere where I want to go. I'm willing to go anywhere, but it's going to be under my terms, under my conditions. You see here, when God called Abraham, you see, God did not mention when or where or what time. You know, Abraham here just went. He just went. Could you please turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11, let's look at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Here the Bible says, and that by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for his inheritance, and this is the key word here, that he obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. You see, when God called Abraham, see, Abraham did not know where he was going. The Bible says that he went out by faith, and he obeyed the Lord, not knowing whether he went. You know what Abraham was telling God here? He was telling God, here am I. I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. You know, my family had a privilege to be part of a few mission conferences last year. And, you know, during this mission conference, we had an opportunity to meet, you know, other missionary families. And, you know, there's one thing that I noticed about these missionary families. You know, they have a joy about them. You know, there's some kind of happiness about them. You know, I never met one missionary that was not excited about going on their mission field. And there was this one missionary that I met he's a missionary to Nigeria. And, you know, this is during a time where they had all those terrorists in Nigeria, and you know, in Africa they have all those diseases like the Ebola virus and stuff going on there. And you know, and this guy was just happy, you know, always has a smile on his face. And I mean, he's just talking about how he can't wait to get on the field. And I was like, brother, I said, why are you so excited? I mean, isn't Africa dangerous? I mean, man, they got all that, you know, the terrorists over there killing people, killing Christians, and you know, the Ebola virus over there. And you know what he told me? He said, brother, he said, the happiest place in the world is where God wants you to be. Amen. And you know what? I thought about that. I thought about that. You know, God made us. You see, God knows what's best for our lives, and he knows where we best fit in. You know, I believe from the bottom of my heart that the happiest and the safest place to be is right in the center of God's will for your life. You know, if I were to ask Pastor Jimenez right now, Pastor Jimenez, where is the happiest place on earth? I don't think he'll say Disneyland. He would say it's right here in Sacramento in the Verity Baptist Church, amen? Because this is exactly where God wants him to be, amen? So number one, we see here that Abraham was willing to go wherever God wanted him to go. And secondly, Abraham was willing to go whenever God wanted him to go. He was willing to go whenever God wanted him to go. Could you please turn to Genesis chapter 2? Genesis chapter 22, and let's look at verse 1. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. So here the Bible says, and that God did tempt Abraham. You see, the word tempt here means testing or to be tried. So God here goes on to say in verse 2, now take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into a land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And let's look at what verse 3. Let's look at verse 3. And the Bible says that Abraham rose up early in the morning. The very next day. Abraham rose up the very next day. See, could you imagine what was going through Abraham right now? Could you imagine the thoughts that was going through his mind? Could you imagine the emotions, knowing that he would have to take his son Isaac, whom he loved the most, and to be offered and to offer him as a burnt offering? You know, we meet a lot of people that are going through trials in their lives, that are going through some testings in their lives. You know, and we meet a lot of Christians that are struggling. And, you know, they come to church and they're trying to find answers. And, you know, so they come to church to hear the word of God being preached. And God speaks to your heart and tells you what you need to do, what God wants you to do. But then many times, we don't listen. We don't listen. We don't obey God's word. Instead, you know what we say is, you know what? I know. You know what? I heard all that before. I heard that preached many times. I know, but you know what? Not right now. You know, God, I'm just not ready. I'm not ready. Maybe one day. Well, maybe someday. God, maybe one day I'll read my Bible. Well, God, maybe one day I'll go soul winning. God, maybe one day I'll start tithing. God, maybe one day I'll start supporting missionaries. God, maybe one day I'll be faithful in serving in church. Well, God, maybe one day I'll stop my sinful lifestyle. God, maybe one day I'll get right with you. God, maybe one day I'll surrender my life to you. God, maybe one day I'll obey you. Maybe one day, maybe someday. We could go on and on and on. But the sad thing is that most of the people that say they're going to do it one day, that they're going to do it someday, they end up not doing it at all. You see here, God tells Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac. I want you to take him up to the mount. I want you to slay your son and offer him as a burnt offering. And the Bible says that Abraham rose up early in the morning. Why? Because Abraham understood that this is the voice of the Lord that was speaking to him. You see, this was God. This is what God wanted him to do. You see here, he did not question God. You see, he did not procrastinate. He didn't put it off. He didn't say, well, Lord, one day I'll do it. Lord, maybe someday I'll do it. Maybe one day I'll do it. I'll do it next month. Maybe I'll do it next year. No. Here, the Bible says that Abraham rose up early in the morning. Amen. You see, here in verse 3, the Bible says, and he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went into a place which God had told him. You see here, Abraham did not procrastinate. He did not question God. He did not put it off. But instead, he obeyed God. You know what he was saying here? He said, Lord, I am willing to go whenever you want me to go. You know, I wouldn't doubt it tonight that there might be some of you tonight that's saying that very thing. You know, Lord, maybe one day I'm going to commit my life to you. Lord, maybe one day I'll get serious about serving you. Lord, maybe one day I'll surrender my life to you. But wouldn't it be wonderful if you would make tonight the night that you would make that complete surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. You see, the longer that you put it off, the longer you're being disobedient to God. You see, you are only disobedient until you obey. So just obey the Lord, amen? You know, if God is speaking to your heart, you know, maybe God wants you to take on a ministry here at church. Maybe God wants you to get involved in the soul winning. Maybe God is telling you to teach a class, or God is calling you to the mission field. But then you're putting it off, you know? But I mean, just obey God's word, amen? Just obey. You see here, number one, we see here that Abraham was willing to go wherever God wanted him to go. And number two, Abraham was willing to go whenever God wanted him to go. And number three, we see here that Abraham was willing to go even though he didn't understand it. I mean, he didn't understand the situation. You know, why would God ask me to kill my son, Isaac, who I love the most, and to use him as a burnt a sacrifice? You see here, Abraham didn't understand it. But even though he did not understand, he still obeyed the Lord. Amen. Let's look here in verse 4. The Bible says, "And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place afar off." In verse 5, the Bible says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." So what Abraham was telling you, he was telling his young men, "I'm going up to Mount Moriah. I'm going to offer my son Isaac. I'm going to slay him. I'm going to offer him there as a burnt offering." But then he says this, "But he and I will come again to you." I mean, Abraham here had hope. Here, Abraham had faith that even though he was going to go up to that mount and slay his son Isaac, he believed, he had hope that God was going to raise his son back from the dead, amen. He believed that they were going to come back down that mountain, amen. You see, he had hope. Why? Because this is God that he was dealing with. This was God. This wasn't just any ordinary man like the Pope. You know, it's so sad. You know, just a few months ago, the Pope went to the Philippines. You know, he went there to visit the Philippines. And, I mean, people were over there and you know, they were worshiping the Pope. And, you know, they said in Manila, it was like the largest meeting in the world's history. There was over 7 million people that attended this service when the Pope was there. And there were people going around praising and worshiping the Pope. There were people that were crying, and the Pope would go around shaking people's hands, and they would kiss his hand. I mean, there was even a family that took their sick child up to the Pope, just hoping that they would heal their child. You know? I mean, that's false hope. You know what? Let me tell you something. There's no hope in a Pope, amen, but there is hope with God, amen. The Bible says that with God that all things are possible, amen. You see here, Abraham and Isaac, they continued to worship God. Amen. They continued to worship God. You know, there are going to be times that you and I will be going through some trials in our lives. You know, there are going to be times that we're going to be going through some struggles. There's going to be times that we might not understand why. But we should never stop worshiping and praising God. Amen. Even through problems, we should praise God. Even through trials, we should praise God. Even through troubles, we should praise God. Even through heartaches, we should praise God. Even through hardships, we should praise God. We should continue and worship, praise God, amen? Amen. You see, too many times when Christians go through these trials and when they go through these problems, you know, they tend to back up from God. And they stop going to church. They stop soul winning. They stop serving the Lord. And they say, you know what, you just don't understand what I'm going through. You just don't understand. But you know what? We need to stop trying to understand. And what we need to do is start obeying God. Amen? Amen. You know, God never commands us to understand, but he does command us to obey him. You know, since my family surrendered to be missionaries to the Philippines, you know, there's a lot of things I don't understand. You know, for one, I don't understand deputation. You know, being on deputation, you know, we're faced with a lot of trials. You know, there's a lot of things that we face. You know, traveling thousands and thousands of miles, you know, from church to church to church, and with the size of my family, you know, being in hotel rooms and you know, sometimes the kids just, you know, they just get impatient and antsy and they start screaming and going crazy. I mean, a lot of times, you know, that's a trial. You know, I remember last year, we were invited to be a part of a mission conference in San Diego, and the pastor said that, you know, they wanted us to be part of the mission conference, and they offered us a hotel stay, and, you know, and we were excited about it, but then for some reason, we were really short with money, and we were worried, you know, like, how are we going to get to this conference, you know, we don't even have money for gas, And, you know, my wife was worried. She was like, you know what? You know, if we go, how are you going to feed the kids? I said, don't worry. Don't worry. You know, I believe God will provide. And I remember, you know, we just had enough money for gas to get to the mission conference. And I remember, you know, we got our van packed up and we were driving and we were going down 101. And then we took the 152 and taking the Pacheco Pass. And what happened is they were doing some road work on the Pacheco Pass highway. So what happened is they blocked the whole road there. So they had to redirect the traffic. So there was traffic. You know, we were stuck in this one road, just one lane road for 2 hours. For 2 hours. And then, you know, I have my kids with me. I mean, could you imagine 2 hours in the van with four kids? I mean, that's a trial. Amen? And then all of a sudden, you know, the road opened up. And, you know, we were just cruising down Highway 5. And everything was going smooth. And, you know, we left the house at 10 o'clock. And we were 15 minutes away from our hotel room, from our hotel. And we were on the I-15 going to San Diego. And there was a shooting on the freeway. There was two rival biker gangs, and they had a shootout on the freeway. So then the cops had to close off all four lanes on the freeway. And we were stuck in traffic, this time for 3 hours. 3 hours. You know, it was like 12 o'clock midnight. And we were on the road for 14 hours. And I remember driving, and my gas tank was on right on E. You know, I was like, oh my Lord, how am I gonna do this? I mean, I don't want to be stuck in this freeway. And we were able to make it through to exit, and we were able to bypass that the traffic. So, you know, by that time I was discouraged. You know, I was telling my wife, I said, you know what? Why are we even doing this? I said, you know, I said, that's it. You know, I don't know if I could do this anymore. And I remember we got to the hotel, and I remember we went to the front desk, got our key, went up to my room, you know, slide the card to the room, opened it up. Oh my soul, it was like Christmas time. I mean, they had gift baskets for each and every one of us. All the kids had their own gift basket. It had candies, it had toys. I mean, I told them, I said, go ahead and eat all the candy you want. I don't care if it's 12 midnight, go ahead, enjoy. And then my wife opened up her basket and she had a nice scarf and all the girly things. She had the lotions and everything. And I mean, my wife was happy. And then I opened my basket, I said, oh, Snickers, oh, amen. And I mean, that was a blessing. But then my wife turned over and looked over, and right on the counter there was a letter, was an envelope. And she opened it up, and it was a letter from the pastor saying that how he was excited to have us part of their mission conference. And in that envelope was a $300 check, love gift. Praise the Lord. You know, that just shows that God always provides, amen? Amen. Just as long as you're faithful. You know, I mean, I could have been discouraged. I could have just quit and said, you know, this is it. I could have turned back and went back home. But then, you know, God is always faithful. You know why? Because God wanted to see if we were going to continue to do what God has called us to do. Amen. You know, all we need to do is we need to just trust and obey the Lord and trust that he will provide. Amen. You see here, Abraham did not understand what was going on at all. He didn't know what was going on, but he obeyed and he continued to carry out what God had told him to do. And let's listen to the conversation between Isaac and Abraham. In verse 6, the Bible says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Here in verse 7, the Bible says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So Isaac here was looking around. He was like, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where's the lamb? Here in verse 8, the Bible says that, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide. Amen. God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You see, at this time, Isaac realized that he was the lamb, that he was the one to be sacrificed. And we need to realize that Abraham here was an old man. Abraham was over 100 years old. You know, Isaac was a young man. You know, if Isaac really wanted to get away, he could have got him away. Amen. He could have pushed Abraham, saying, you know, I'm out of here, and run back down that mountain. But no, we see here that Isaac offered himself willingly. You know, could you imagine at this time the agony that Abraham was feeling in his heart? just moments that he was going to sacrifice his son that he loved the most. You know, I have four boys, and each boy to me is special to me. You know, and I love them with all my heart. You know, I treasure them. They're precious to me. But could you imagine having God asked me to offer one of my boys to slay him and use him as a burnt offering? I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. That'd be a hard thing for a father to do. But you see here, Abraham was willing to do it. Here in verse 9, the Bible says, "And they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood." You see here, number 4 here, that Abraham was showing God, "God, I'm willing to give you anything that you want me to give." He was willing to give God anything that he wanted him to give. You see, by the way, Abraham here was a very wealthy man. I truly believe that Abraham would have gave up all his riches rather than giving his only son to be sacrificed on that altar. But then here, Abraham was saying to the Lord, "Lord, I am willing to give you anything that you want me to give." And you know what, church? God wants us. God wants us. You see here, God didn't want Isaac. You see, Isaac here was a test. You see, what God wanted Abraham's heart. You see, God wanted to see if Abraham was willing to give the one that he loved the most to God. And you know what? Abraham passed that test, amen? He passed that test. And let me ask you tonight, does God have your heart? Does God have your heart? The Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You see here, Abraham was willing to give the one that he loved, the one that he treasured the most, to God. You see, when Abraham here was offering his son Isaac, what he was doing to God, he was offering his heart to God. You see, Abraham was fully intending to do exactly what God told him to do. Why? Because Abraham treasured God more. Abraham loved God more than his son. And do you realize that God loves us? Amen. Do you realize that God loves us so much that he was willing to give his only begotten son to be sacrificed for us? Amen? The Bible said that we love him because he first loved us. I mean, John 3:16 says it all. I mean, the most beautiful verse in the Bible. Amen. You know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." You see, God loves us so much that he provided a way out of hell so that way we may have a home in heaven one day. Amen? That's through his son, Jesus Christ. You see, God loves us so much that he was willing to do the same. If you look here in verse 11, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him and out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I." He said, "Here am I, Lord. I am ready to receive your provision." You see, when you obey God, even though you don't understand it, good things will happen. Amen. So let's think back for a minute. Let's go back. What if Abraham did not obey the Lord? What if Abraham said, "Well, Lord, there's other mountains out there. What if I just, let me just go to this other mountain. It's not so high. It's not so far. You know, why do I have to go three days to go to this mountain? Let me go to some other mountain here." What if Abraham said, "Well, Lord, you know, I'll go, but not right now. Maybe one day. Maybe I'll go later." You know, think about it. If Abraham would have done that, he would not have received God's provision. Here in verse 12, the Bible says, "And he said, Lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything upon him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou that hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me." You see, Abraham here was receiving God's provision. Here in verse 13, the Bible says, And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. You see, God's provision. God's provision. You know, that is why Abraham called that mount Jehovah Jireh, meaning that the Lord will provide. I mean, amazing. Amazing. You know, here's a simple principle. God's provision is in God's place at God's perfect time. Could you please repeat that? God's provision is in God's place at God's perfect time. You know, that is why Abraham was called a friend of God, because of his willingness to obey him. Before I close, I want to just share with you this testimony. About 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, you know, I was laid off from work. And, you know, we just had our youngest son, Ace. And, you know, at that time, you know, I was working for this job for 17 years, and they decided to relocate to Fresno. So they laid off everybody. And, you know, it was a hard time. You know, we were going through some trials. We were going through some hardships. And, you know, we needed insurance. So my wife, we all had to apply for Medi-Cal. And the following year after that, that was when God called me, you know, and that was when I surrendered to be a missionary to the Philippines. And shortly after that, you know, my pastor said that we were going to take a trip to the Philippines in February of 2014. So then about a month before our missions trip, you know, my wife began to experience a lot of pain in her abdominal, and it was to the point where she couldn't take the pain anymore. So I told her, I said, you know, you need to get that checked out. So she went to her doctor, and she found out she had some inflammation in her abdomen, and she needed to get surgery for it. But then she said that the doctor told her, but unfortunately, your insurance doesn't cover that type of procedure. And you know, at that time, we were discouraged. We didn't understand why, you know, things were happening the way it was. And you know, I remember we were both crying, and my wife was saying, you know, don't worry, you know, I'm just going to deal with the pain. And I told her, I said, no, you know what? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. You know, I believe that God will provide. God will provide. So shortly after that, you know, we went on our missions trip. And during this missions trip, we attended a mission conference in the Manila area. You know, they had their big mission conference there. And there was over 40 missionaries that was at this conference. And there was a pastor preaching that evening. And he started preaching on, you know, about paying it forward. And then after the message, he challenged the people. He said, you know, we want to take up a love offering for these missionaries. I want you to go in your pocket. I want you to pull out your wallet. I want you to pull out the largest amount you have in your wallet and put it in the offering plate. And, you know, this was my second week there in Manila. And I said, okay, you know, I took out my wallet and I said, I know I probably have some pesos here. So I had 100 peso. I had 500 peso. And I looked at my wallet. I had a 100 U.S. dollar bill in there. And I was supposed to exchange it to pesos that morning, but I totally forgot. And I looked in there, I was like, Lord, are you telling me something? I said, is this what you want me to give? I was like, why? and you know, but then God spoke to my heart, you know, and I was convicted by it. And, you know, I remembered I was struggling. I was like, oh, should I give it? Should I give it? But then I just felt like that's what the Lord wanted me to do. So I took out that $100 bill. You know, at that time, Benjamin Franklin became Isaac. And so I remember just dropping it in the offering plate there. And then this pastor goes, if God doesn't bless you within 1 month, he goes, you call me back and I'll give you, you call me and I'll give your money back. So I was going around trying to find a pen. I said, man, I need to get this guy's number, because if I don't get no blessings back, I'm going to give him a call. Well, anyway, the Lord provided. You know, we were there for one more week. People took us to, you know, in their home. We were able to stay in their home, and he fed us. So, you know, God is good. But then we were at the airport. I get a call from my wife. And she said, babe, because you won't believe this. I'm like, what? She goes, my doctor called me, and she said that she's going to perform the surgery for free. I was like, praise the Lord. I mean, could you imagine? God's provision. You know, I was thinking to myself, what if I withheld that? You know, what if I withheld that money? I mean, I believe it's not because of the amount that mattered, but it was by faith. You know, God saw that I was willing to give him anything, that I was willing to give him all I had to the Lord. And God always blesses obedience, amen? So my challenge for you tonight is to obey God. You know, when you surrender your life to the Lord, I mean, giving things to God should not be a problem. It's not going to be a problem. You know, I remember when I surrendered my life to the Lord, I mean, whatever God wants, I'm going to give it to him. You know, I gave him my life and giving to him. And when I hear, you know, people, you know, about offering, I mean, right now we're living tight, but, you know, I'm still faithful in giving my, I still support mission. I still give the faith promise. You know, I still give my tithes, you know, because I believe that God blesses obedience. Amen. So that's my challenge for you, is just obey God. Be willing. Be willing. Be willing to surrender your life to him. You see, as long as we stay faithful, you know, God is always faithful in providing for us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you.